कुंज बिहारी जैया राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय ओम विष्णुपद महंस परिव्राज कचार्य अष्ट तरशत श्रीमाधि सेवा इंग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज कचार्य अष्ट तरशत श्रीमाधि सेवा इंग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज शिल प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की इस्कोन फोंडर आचार्य शिल प्रभुपाद की ग्रंथर श्रीमन भागवतं की निताई गौर प्रेमनंदी ओ ग्लोरी सुदे असेंबो देवोतिस ओ ग्लोरी सुदे असेंबो देवोतिस ओ ग्लोरी सुदे असेंबो देवोतिस ओ ग्लोरी सु शिशि गुरु वंशी गौरंगा ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 9 लिबरेशन चैप्टर 2 द डायनेस्टीज ऑफ द सन्स ऑफ मनु So, which one? This is 17 that is there? Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, so I chant 15. Kavi kanijam vishajeshu nishpriho brisrija rajyan sahabandhu birvanam nivesha chitte purushan swarochisham vivesha kaishora vajaparam gataha. Translation. Being reluctant to accept material enjoyment, Manu's youngest son, whose name was Kavi, gave up the kingdom before obtaining full youth. Accompanied by his friends, he went to the forest, always thinking of the self-effulgent Supreme Personality of Godhead within the core of his heart. Thus, he obtained perfection. Text number 16. Kurushan manavat ashan kurusha chatra jataya utara patto goptaro brahmanya dharma bat salaha. Translation. From Karusha, another son of Manu, came the Karusha dynasty, a family of Kshatriyas. The Karusha Kshatriyas were the kings of the northern direction. They were celebrated protectors of Brahminical culture and were all firmly religious. And text number 17, that we try to do, we do responsibly. Dristat darshtan abu shatram. Brahma bhujangatan shitao Nrigasya banshashu matir Bhutayotis tato vashuhu Dristadarshtan abhutshatram Brahma bhujan gatan shitao Nrigashyavam shashumatir Bhutayotistato basuhu Drishtadarshtan abhupshatram Brahma bhujan gatam shitao Nrigashyavam shashumatir Bhutayotistato basuhu Please chant. Drishtat, from Drishta, another son of Manu. Darstam, a cast of the name Darsta. Abhut, was produced. Kshatram, belonging to the Kshatriya group. Brahmabhujam, the position of Brahmanas. Gatam, had achieved. Shitao, on the surface of the world. Nrigashya, of Nriga, another son of Manu. Bansaha, the dynasty. Sumatihi, of the name Sumati. Bhutajyoti, of the name Bhutajyoti. Tataha, thereafter. Basuhu, by the name Basu. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. From the son of Manu, named Drishta, came a Kshatriya caste called Darshta, whose members achieved the position of Brahmanas in the world. Then, from the son of Manu named Nriga came Sumati. From Sumati came Bhutajyoti. And from Bhutajyoti came Basu. Purport. Here it is said, Chatram Brahmabhujan Gatanchitao. Although the Darstas belong to the Kshatriya caste, they were able to convert themselves into Brahmanas. These give clear evidence supporting the following statement by Narada, Bhagavatam 7.11.35. Yasya jalakshana proktam punshum varna vibhyakjakam yat anyatra pidrisheta tattenaiva vinirdishet. If the qualities of one group are found in the man of another, those men should be recognized by their qualities, by their symptoms, not by the caste of the family in which they were born. Birth is not at all important. It is one quality that are stressed in all Vedic literature. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Ummilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurube Namaha. Namo Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Vasayabhutale Shrimate Rumapaswami Dinamne. Namo Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Vasayabhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyabadi Pashatyadi Satarine. Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. So the scheduled speaker was not able to make it, so I have to cover. This particular subject matter is a very hot topic, to say the least, in India. Is the proponents of this caste system. The caste system in itself is being in general, true in the world view, is seen as a very backward system. A system that has been used to oppress people. And is not very, is not looked by the world as something acceptable. So there is a movement, not only from different organizations in the world, to address this injustice that the caste system that has been traditionally in India is imposing on people. But also in India is very strong. So there's this whole movement to try to counteract and dismantle this idea of the caste system. In general, in the West, when you speak about caste, then immediately people will relate to this very backward system, unjust and abusive. Actually, to the point as there's accused of breaking the principles of human abuse. What is the term that is used when you abuse other humans? There's human rights. Sorry, human rights. You know, the human rights organization have the caste system on site. It's one of the things that are absolutely no good. On the other hand, there's a liberals and there is the conservative. So there is a conservative movement in India right now, and that also is defending this caste system, because this is a tradition, it's traditional. And not only that, it appears in the scriptures. So the conservatives of India, especially the Hindu conservatives, they're also working very hard to protect this traditional system that appears in the Vedic scriptures. And because they are, as Hindus, part of their beliefs is that you have to protect these traditions. This is what the scripture said, and this is what ought to be followed. And so there is this big conflict that is happening in India. And right now, I believe the ruling party of India is a very conservative one and is pushing for all kinds of Hindu values, you know, and protecting these very principles that appears in the scriptures. And so this has been going on through Kali Yuga, this idea of caste system, or this structure of caste system. So what is the problem with the caste system that is in Kali Yuga being manifested in India, and that has been confronted throughout Kali Yuga by many of the great acharyas, from Madhava Acharya, Ramanuja Acharya, the Alvars in South India, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then in modern times, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and Srila Prabhupada. What's the problem? The problem is that in the view of the Kali Yuga politicians and rulers and intelligentsia, or the scholars, or the so-called brahmanas, is by birth. It's a birth-based caste system. So means that if you take birth in a family of a particular caste, that will determine your caste. And that's it. There's no more to go around. And then you simply have to happily just accept your caste and do your part in society. So, in the traditional Vedic system, that was a natural situation. You know, in the traditional Vedic system, you take birth in the family of a Brahmana, automatically, in general, you be a Brahmana. So they're simply following that. So you take birth in the family of a Brahmana means that by your karma in your previous life, you were put in the family of a Brahmana. So Krishna says that principle, you know, that according to your actions in this life, even if you are a fallen yogi, you will be placed in a family of Brahmanas, or wealthy merchants. So according to your karma, you already did your work, so you already have the qualities of a Brahmana. You take birth in a family of Brahmanas, and then bam, you're a Brahmana. So that is the conception, so by birth. Now, that's not exactly what the scripture said. And Krishna brings that in the Bhagavad Gita, that he created, Krishna explains that he himself created this system of varna and ashram. Chaturvarnam mayasrishtan guna karma vivagasha. Guna karma vivagasha is what determines this what varna you are. Guna and karma. Not birth, but guna and karma. Birth is not mentioned, but guna and karma. So what is guna? Guna means by the modes of nature. According to the modes of nature that one associate with. In this context, guna means your nature, your disposition. And karma means your actions by your work. So by nature, by your nature and by your work, then it will determine what varna you are. And then Prabhupada quotes here Narada Muni, that he says that if the qualities of one group are found in the man of another, those men should be recognized by their qualities and by their symptoms. And Krishna also goes further in chapter 18 to explain, you know, this guna karma vivagasha. He says, you know, he describes the qualities of each one of the different ashrams or the different varnas. He says this swabhavaja, you know, they all end, you know, karma swabhavaja. So brahmana karma swabhavaja, kshatriya karma swabhavaja, vaishya karma swabhavaja. They describe all of them. So according to swabhava means their nature and karma means their work. So then he described that according to these things, if these particular symptoms are present, then this person should be considered of a particular varna and ashram. So it's not by birth, but it's based on guna and karma, on your nature and your work, your actions. That's what determines what varna you belong to. And one should be accepted like that. So the problem that we find with birth based caste is that Prabhupada explained it as simple as that in Kali Yuga. That although it is true that if you take birth in the family of a particular varna, naturally you have a much more greater opportunity to become a brahmana. And Prabhupada gives example, like if you take birth in the family, if your father is a high court judge, Prabhupada gives this example, you have a very good chance to become a high court judge. Because in your house, there will be all the books of law. There will be your father who will be able to teach you and show you examples and like that. So you have a good opportunity. But that doesn't mean because you are the son of a high court judge, someone should start to respect you and give you the job of a high court job just because of birth. You have to be trained as a high court judge and then to be accepted. And one to speak, if the son of a high court judge decides to be something else,
you know, decides to be a musician. Then now the musician is a sudra work. So then you go from being a kshatriya type into a sudra. So by birth, no, it's by work and by your actions that you consider the particular varna. So the question here is, okay, why by birth basically doesn't work? Because especially from the higher castes, the brahmanas and the kshatriyas, why it doesn't work? In previous ages, in previous times, there was a whole structure, social structure that supported, that fully supported the vanashram system. So the higher castes, the kshatriyas and the brahmanas, will have qualified brahmanas who will perform all these different samskaras. So there were all these samskaras were performed, the garba samskara, and then I think there's 10 of them, I can't remember, but there's all different samskaras that you have to actually perform in order to have the proper qualities when you take birth. You know, so if those sankaras are not properly performed, then you cannot expect to have, you know, individuals taking birth with those qualities, the qualities of the higher varnas. Therefore, it is explained in the first canto in the Srimad Bhagavatam that in Kali Yuga, everybody takes birth with the qualities of a sudra. What is it? Kalo Sudra Samplavo. Why? Because in this Kali Yuga, they are not qualified brahmanas to perform the samskaras. So all these different supportive rituals and practices that were part of the Vanashram institution, they're not present supportingly now. So therefore, the qualities that are required and the support that is required is not there. And therefore, one comes with these difficulties and these qualities. So, that being established, then, well, what happens now? We all we take birth with a particular qualities. In this case, you know, in this Kali Yuga, we all take birth basically in the mode of ignorance, and then how you elevate people in Kali Yuga. The support that is given here, the example is given here, is that Kshatriya was able to elevate himself into the position of a brahmana. So it is supported in the scripture, even during Vedic times, although there were particular castes that you take birth, you're still able to go upwards according if you've been trained. If you've been fully trained, then by quality and by your actions, then you will be elevated to the particular caste. You know, in this case, brahmanas. So the scriptures tell us that, and Krishna also says that very important verse in the Bhagavad Gita in the 9th chapter. Krishna says, you know, Striyo Vaishyas Tata Sudra Tepi Yanti Paramgati, that even if you're taking birth, you know, the Papa Johnny, Yepishu Papa Jonaha, that Papa Johnny means those who take birth that are afflicted by sinfuls. Papa means sinful. Johnny means taking birth in a sinful way, meaning that there is no, there was no there was no samskaras. So there was no samskaras to actually make a pure birth. So you actually take birth to in a unlawful or sinful way, Papa Jonah. And therefore, even if you're born in a lower family, or if you have, you know, if you're born as a Sudra, in this case, also a woman or Vaishyas, even if you're born in any of these situations, you still can obtain the highest position. Krishna is saying, O son of Prita, those who take shelter in me, though they be of lower birth, woman, Vaishyas, and Sudras, can attain the supreme destination. So, how to take shelter of Krishna is by you, the shelter of Krishna comes by association with his pure devotee. And by that association, one can strain and one becomes elevated. And that is throughout history, we've seen these principles applying. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta himself, and Srila Prabhupada is a perfect example. I mean, here we are in this assembly of devotees. Only one devotee comes from India, and the rest of us are from the West, who have no clue of what, you know, Krishna was. So, and by Srila Prabhupada's association, some of us is even, you know, allowed to worship the deities and receive, you know, Brahminical initiation. And this is something that even those conservative sort of proponents of this birth caste system, they hated it. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, similarly, he did the same thing. He gave Brahminical initiation to people of, you know, that came from Sudra caste, and he very vocally and strongly opposed that whole caste system, to the point that they were trying to kill him. They actually plot to kill Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, the smarta caste brahmanas. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is the same. Srila Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his closest associates were considered untouchable from the perspective of the caste system. Srila Haridas Thakur, Srila Rupa, and Srila Sanatana Goswami, by birth or by circumstances, they were considered untouchable. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted them then with the, you know, Srila Haridas Thakur was given the title as the Nama Acharya. And that's very significant, because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission was to establish Nam Sankirtan as the Yuga Dharma. And there he is, you know, the person who was the banner or the poster person for this Nam chanting, was a Muslim, was taking birth in a family of meat eaters or cow eaters. And he was exalted, you know, as like that. And then Srila Sanatana and Rupa Goswami were expelled from the Brahminical caste, although they took birth as Brahmanas, but because they were working under the Muslim rulers, then they were considered now untouchable. They were they lost a caste. And Srila Rupa and Srila Sanatana were were anointed as the next acharyas of the Chaitanya movement, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. They were the ones who were assigned to actually teach or put, you know, for provide the teachings of Lord Chaitanya to the world. And like that, many examples. Srila Ramanujacharya was similar to that in terms of how by his association they were able to elevate all kinds of people into the highest position of devotion. So many stories are there. And Krishna himself is explaining. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a famous verse. Remember one devotee who used to love to chant this verse. Kirata hunandra pulinda pulkasha abira sumba javana kasha daya jinye chapapa jat apasha jashaya shudyanti tasmai prabhavishnabe namaha. So this prabhavishnabe namaha, by respectful obeisances unto the most powerful Lord Vishnu, by taking full shelter unto the Lord and the powerful Lord Vishnu through the association of his pure devotees. The verse reads like this: Kirata Huna Andra Pulinda Pulkasha Abira Shumba Javana, members of the Kasha races, and even others addicted to sinful acts can be purified by taking shelter of the devotee of the Lord, due to his being the supreme power. I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto him. So all these races, like for example, Prabhupada explains, the Huna are the races of the Germans and Russians. This is during Vedic times, but this was considered uncivilized races. They're the outside the caste system. They were lower than Sudras. So the Germans and the Russians, they were considered the Hunas. And the Pulkashas, they were the Greeks. And then the Javanas, Prabhupada explains, were the Turks. And the Kasha were the Chinese and the Mongols, and like that. And then what to speak of those? Then there was the Melechas, the meat eaters, and under those there were the dog eaters. The Melechas, I think, are the dog eaters. Chandalas. Yeah, thank you. The Chandalas, the dog eaters. So all these different, very low races, uncivilized, not even, you know, I mean, one say, that guy's a Sudra. Actually, lower than Sudra. Because the Sudra, they fall within the Vanashram system. And they, you know, they're regulated, civilized. They follow regulations. I mean, they associate him with the mode of ignorance, but they do follow regulations. These other are completely no regulation. They're uncivilized. So, by the association of a pure devotee, one can become fully elevated to the position of a Vaishnava. And that's the power of the pure devotee of the Lord. So, and the best example of that power is Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada is the greatest exponent of this Vedic culture. Because not like the people who want to eliminate the varnas and the ash and the caste system and eliminate all the varnas because is unjust and backwards and doesn't allow the growth or the education or the training of all people. So because of this injustice and this system that is backwards, it should be eliminated. And then create some sort of a idealistic, utopic idea that all people are equal. It doesn't work like that. There was a whole political system that was trying to do that, which is communism. And he had proved a failure. Because even within the whole idea that everyone is equal, they still have the caste system because they still have rulers that live in bigger houses and they eat very well. And then they have a whole bunch of people that, you know, most of them, the rest have to live in a everybody equal. But then you have, you know, people that have certain abilities and others don't. So it doesn't work like that. There's a natural arrangement in which people by guna and by karma, by nature, by their nature and by their actions, they actually have a function in the social body. And there are differences. So you can eliminate that because it will naturally happen. So it's artificial to consider that there's equality all across of all people. So not eliminate and not entertain this misinterpretation or polluted application of the varnas, of the caste system of the varnas, because, you know, of birth, having all kinds of unqualified people just taking advantage of the birth and claiming the respect and the facilities of the higher caste. So none of the two. Prabhupada was the one who actually fully rescue and establish the proper Varnashram institution that is based on, just as Krishna said, guna karma vibhagasha. So in this system, then anyone, as Krishna says, could be elevated by association with a pure Vaishnava and by training one can be elevated to the highest position. And in the Vanashram system, one can simply by performing one's duties also one becomes elevated. Like that. So any comments or questions?
Jai Baladev. Surprise.
Thank you, Prabhu. A comment and a question. Thank you for your class, first of all. You were mentioning the caste brahmanas and on the other side, people like Haridas Thakur, who's considered Vaishnavas and greater than brahmanas. So we see the example in the scriptures many times that there's a term that's, I'm sure you've heard about it. It says dress for success. And in the scriptures, we see that there are those who dress for success on the outside and those who are dressed for success on the inside. And Haridas Thakur was one who was dressed for success on the inside. And that's the real dress, because I'll just use an example of that Shraddha ceremony pastime where basically when the father dies or something, after the whole ceremony, they're supposed to serve the prasadam to the most qualified personality, the brahmanas. in Advaitacharya, after the Shraddha ceremony, there were so many Brahmanas present, but then he served Haridas Thakur first, and the Brahmanas became furious because they weren't dressed for success on the inside. They had this pride, that this entitlement. So I would say my question is that we see that in India, and Prabhupada, you know, and Lord Chaitanya speak against it. Even he told Lord Ramananda Roy, Kiba Vipra Kibinasi Sudra Kene Noi, Ye Krishna Tapa Veta Se Guru Hoy. He said, even though you're a Sudra and a Grihasta, you're an authority. So how can one get, my question is, how can one, even though we see that there's examples of caste Brahmanas, those who feel this sense of entitlement because I'm dressed for success on the outside, but how do we could see even in, that's just the laws of nature. It doesn't matter what position of authority you're in, whether you have money, fame, position. Sometimes we can see that the tendency of entitlement comes. It doesn't matter what position we are. Even if we're not in a position of authority, how does one get out of this, especially in authority, I would say like the caste Brahmanas or any position of authority, that entitlement, because we see in the scriptures that King Rahugana was in a position of authority. He was a king. And Jadabharata looked like a bum, and he disrespected him because of that. But then when Jadabharata spoke, he recognized, oh yes, you're an authority because you're dressed for success on the inside. So that's kind of my question. How do we get out of this sense of, if we're get the fortune enough to accept the leadership position in the future, that things should be my way? Because in the material world, nothing goes anyone's way. It doesn't matter whether you're a position of authority or not. It seems that nothing goes anyone's way. And how do we get out of this sense of entitlement, this caste system too? Because caste system's everywhere in the material world, whether you are a boss of a CEO or a caste brahmana. So how do we get out of this sense of entitlement, that things should go my way, whatever position you were in?
Just this sense of entitlement comes, you know, even in any position, any position that we have, even if we, you know, in the material situation, but also we bring that into the spiritual realm. And in general, the sense of entitlement comes because of material condition. We're recognizing ourselves with my body and whatever conception I have of myself. So we are affected by that when we are in the Prakriti Bhakta stage, when we still have mixed devotion, we still mix with material conditioning. So we have to fight the sense of entitlement. In general, the sense of entitlement makes us blind to others. Because it's entitlement means it's about me, it's about me. You know, so it's a symptom of selfishness. So how do we get out of that? Well, Prabhupada say we should move to the Madhyama platform. We should work so hard to actually get out of this Kanishta platform. Because it's very awkward. It's embarrassing and it's awkward. If we're sincere, Krishna is very kind, and he exposes us constantly, and then we become embarrassed, and then we progress, you know. But if we're proud, then you just, your sense of entitlement becomes even more stronger, and you start to commit offenses to the devotees, and then you're downwards. So we have to be very introspective and understand we have to get out of this Kanishta platform. So how do we get out? Well, the process of anartha nivritti, we have to take it very, very seriously. We have to eliminate all the unwanted things within the heart that causes that sense of entitlement. And then, you know, when we come to eliminate three quarters of that junk, then we're in great shape. We move to the next stage. So that's Prabhupada said, he's expecting us to become Madhyamas, at least, you know, his students. I mean, we're expected to become pure devotees, but the first thing is first, become Madhyama. Oh, that's a symptom. That's a symptom of a Madhyama. But the position of a Madhyama, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur said that 75% of the unwanted things on the heart has been the anartha nivritti. You have done a lot of work, so you have already getting rid of you know, 75% of the whole thing. It becomes clear. Say, for example, if you have a toggle word, because that's what we have. We have a toggle word. We have a prakrita, a materialistic person, and we have a bhakta. And they're pulling us. We're in the middle, and then these guys are pulling us. Sometimes this one pulls me hard, and then I'm in the material consciousness. The devotee pulls me hard, and then in spiritual consciousness. We're in this like toggle world. Sometimes we're doing great. My consciousness is really, really into, you know, tuned in Krishna consciousness. Sometimes I get victimized by some material, you know, thing, desires or things or tendencies. So I'm in this toggle world. So in general, if you have more, suppose I have 25% devotee, 75% materialistic, obviously I'm always on the material side, because, you know, by, if I'm 50-50, it's like, you know, it's like to stop, you know, I'm stuck, you know, I don't. So the idea is you start to, you know, make the bhakta bigger. So when the bhakta becomes 75% and the prakrita becomes 25%, there's not a contest. Now that's where they call the position of Madhyama. Now you actually fix. Your devotion is fixed. That's one of the symptoms, because there's no competition now. So that's the idea. So in other words, we really have to take the anartha nivritti to heart and really endeavor. So what are the things that we do for eliminating all the unwanted things? Well, the five principles that are given by Srila Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Devotion. You know, chanting of the holy name, serving the pure devotees, the association of devotees, the Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping the deities, and living in a holy place. So by those, then the unwanted things within the heart becomes eliminated. So we have to do it with great attention and go deeper and deeper and deeper in these practices. We're depending on that. Otherwise, this is awkward. We're not wholesome. We're divided. We're in conflict. It's like living in a war zone, you know. So it's we have to move from that. Any other thing, Madhava Gauranga Prabhu?
Krishna, I'm just trying to understand. In the Brahmacharya Ashram training, we're supposed to be developing brahminical qualities or qualities of a Brahmana, but one may not necessarily be a Brahmana by quality, or they may be in a whole another category. So, you know, the whole trying to understand your nature, what am I good at? You may be better at doing things, but they may not necessarily be your nature and your varna. But then you're supposed to be developing brahminical qualities. So I guess what I'm trying to understand is how can I understand trying to develop brahminical qualities when one may not actually be a brahmana by nature?
Well, by training, we elevate ourselves to that. By the proper training. So it's and it's not just training, but it's a process of purification. So, you know, it's a very wholesome process, devotional, the process that Srila Prabhupada has given us. You know, so in one sense, you've been given skills and training, and in the other hand, you've been also purified of all these conceptions and material, you know, material conditioning. And also, we're being put in a place that we're associating with the mode of goodness, which is a Brahminical, you know. There's a Brahminical mode. So you naturally, by association with the mode of goodness, by training in the skills and work of a Brahmana, and by association with Brahmanas, and by serving, you know, a pure Brahmana, then one becomes naturally elevated. The question is, are you a good student, or are you following the instructions? And you then, and then it will naturally manifest. So if we allow ourselves to be trained and to take up the process, that's what I'm saying, you know, more or less what the discussion with the question of Jai Baladev Prabhu, the elevation will be there. It will be natural. It will be natural. Yes, bro.
I'm just also having a similar question because, not to disagree, I accept what you said, but in the Gita, these qualities, like when we look at how Prabhupada gave Brahman initiation, generally that Brahman initiation is given to Vaishyas, Kshatriyas, and the Brahmins, the Upanayana, second birth, where Vedic students would go to Gurukul, or the spiritual master, and he'd give them Gayatri Mantra. And so Prabhupada did that, and he said, this is to prove that our students are just as qualified, as they're the same or better than a qualified Brahman, because they're Vaishnav. So Vaishnav is beyond a Brahman. But at the same time, the devotees, they may have a natural propensity of work based on their swabhava or their conditioned nature. So they may be given Brahman initiation, but the quality of the Brahman is like the intellectual, he does puja. His quality of work still may be different than an administrator. Now they both are having Brahman initiation, they're both Brahmins in that sense, but is there also a distinction in terms of like their, how they operate? That's my question.
Yeah, in Vedic times, you find that, just as you pointed out, that not only Brahmanas were given were chanting Gayatri and were performing, you know, deity worship, all that. But also Kshatriyas were given Gayatri and were, you know, the Dvijas. And so some Vaishyas too were Dvijas. Nanda Maharaj, you know, like that. So you get trained in the principles of Brahminical. Now, you may perform a particular work, but nevertheless, the Brahminical training will be there. And in one sense, at one point, it become clear by the spiritual master guidance. So you receive that training from the spiritual master. What in the second chapter, I think, I can't remember, I think it's in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, that the spiritual master gives you your swabhava. Oh, swabhava, yes, swabhava. That he gave, no, swadharma, swadharma. The spiritual master gives you swadharma, which means, you know, what duties, how, what work, and what duties you have to perform materially according to your varna, and what duties you have to perform according to your spiritual position, your ashram. So both of things are given by the spiritual master and guided. So, but at the end, all of us, all of those who are under this this Brahminical culture, you know, are worshipping the personality of Godhead at home. So we have to receive this Brahminical education, and we have to be able to perform deity worship, although I may be doing the work of a Kshatriya, of a Vaishya, of a Sudra, you know, regardless. In the Daivi Vanashram system, which is what Prabhupada wants to establish, in all cases you're talking about Vaishnavas, and in all cases, you know, everybody becomes qualified to establish a ashram in their home, and that home becomes like a temple, because there's a worship of the personality of Godhead. So the full shelter is there. So that's the principle, that's a Bhagavad Dharma principle. That's what the Bhagavatam teaches. That, you know, under the shelter of a pure devotee, you take full shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and worship, you know, the personality of Godhead like that. That's how I understand it. You have any other comment? No? Giridhari.
I was just hearing last night in a lecture that the whole system, whole Vedic system, is meant to change our svabhava. That, like, all the training, like, the svabhava isn't a permanent thing. It can be changed. Mm. So that's what training is to change our svabhava, not to get caught up in our svabhava, but it can be changed.
No doubt about it. Even in our personal lives, like, I was a happy sudra musician. You know, my wife was a happy artist, you know, a photographer. Somehow or other, we sometimes look back and say, what happened? It's like, we'll be able to do something about that. You know, sometimes we have this little, you know, sort of like type of thing. But through our life in Krishna consciousness for the last, whatever, few decades, you know, at least 20, 30 something years, we've been engaged in teaching and deity worship. That was, you know, all the engagements we have, basically. Teaching and deity worship. So, do we think ourselves as Brahmanas? Well, my wife is more of a Brahmana than me. But, you know, it's a work in process. But definitely change, you know, a whole thing change. You know, and at this moment, I won't even consider to pursue some music thing. It just have to be. This is my life. So it does. It's a very tangible change that happens. Yes, Bruce.
Whose lecture was this? His Holiness Prabhupada Swami.
What is the context meaning of svabhava? What is he referring to? What do you mean by svabhava?
I just directly remember him saying svabhava.
Means your mentality or your nature. So it can mean in material world everyone has a swabhava of aversion to Krishna, for materialistic desire, for sense gratification. That's a type of swabhava. Another type is your quality of work. So in that lecture, I'm just curious if Maharaj was referring to, because I think I know that lecture. He's saying from a Brahmin or a Kshatriya like that, that's what he's saying. Huh?
Okay. And even the other one applies the same principle also.
Yeah, the other one for sure.
So regardless of this translation or that translation, it does the same principle applies. It gets change.
I was just thinking of one example that Madhava Gauranga might like to in Gita Nagari. There's this devotee who's worshiping the deity. He's like this really big Kshatriya type guy.
He's
wearing the nice chador, like cooking for the deities, and then like 15 minutes later you'll see him like souped up, like on a four-wheeler, like cruising around to go train the bulls. Like, he's like totally transcendental.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing what Prabhupada has given us. And it's according, and the principle is just perfectly according to the Bhagavad Dharma. You know, and so in itself, we're very fortunate. We're very fortunate to be under the shelter of the preeminent Acharya for the Kali Yuga. And with that point, we can end today. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.